one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. After he had said this, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant us to follow our Lord in the way of the cross, so that joined to his death and resurrection, we enter into new life with you. Through Jesus, the same Christ who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us go forth in peace.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have established your rule in the heart of humans through the servanthood of Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, keep us in the joyful procession of those who with their tongues confess Jesus as Lord, and with their lives praise him as Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, those of you who are here in person and those of you joining us online. We are here on Palm and Passion Sunday at the beginning of the holiest week of the year. And so we invite you to join us as we travel with Jesus throughout this week, especially on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, both 7 o'clock services. If there are any of you who don't come to those services because it's dark and you don't want to drive, we have folks available who want to give you rides to and from worship. So will you please let me or Mary know after worship so that we can make arrangements for you to attend? Because these two services are some of the most meaningful and special and sacred services throughout the year. And I promise if you attend them, Easter will be even more meaningful for you. Speaking of Maundy Thursday, at the end of that service, we're going to have a metal bucket at the end of the aisle for us to drop coins into as we leave, to have that sound remind us of the money that Judas received for betraying Jesus. We're going to have coins here in case you don't bring any, but if you think about it, bring some coins to drop in that bucket. And speaking of Good Friday, we're going to do a pop-up Bible study at noon here in the fellowship hall. We ask that you bring a brown bag lunch, and we are going to look at Good Friday, Jesus' betrayal, his torture, and his death from a modern medical perspective. We're going to think through what Jesus endured on the cross, right, as he suffocated, because he had the weight of his body pressing down on his lungs as he hung from the cross, things like that. So to make your Good Friday even more meaningful, we hope you'll join us for a pop-up Bible study at noon in the fellowship hall. Next Saturday, if you are going to the egg hunt event at Patterson Farms, don't forget to do that and take lots of pictures so we can all see it. And then, of course, in 1 week, it's Easter. We have our sunrise service at the Columbarium, Easter breakfast provided by the men's group after, and then our 10:30 worship service. We have a few birthdays this week. Marie Palmer. Bill Curry would have been 94. Yes. Matt Bunton. Max Carrick. Hunter Hedrick. Jean Kepley. And Neil Clark. Remembering their baptism, Mary Ellen Hinson, Sandra Vaughn, Boyd Queen, and Johnny Turner. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you wanted to purchase an Easter lily in memory or in honor of somebody, or if you wanted to do a designation to the backpack program, those forms are due today. You can just go ahead and put them in the offering plates. And we have four prayer shawls this morning. Somebody from Lexington, Jake Furness, who I think was 40, he was a year younger than I was. I saw lots of folks from the class of 2003 on Facebook. Jake Furness died this week. He was in liver failure in the late stages of waiting for a liver transplant, and he began to have brain bleeds last weekend, and he died this week. And so we have prayer shawls for his sister Danielle, his mom Teresa, his dad Travis, and his longtime companion Taylor. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you hear us every time we come to you in prayer, and that you take the wounds of the brokenhearted and you bind them with your healing and your love. We give you thanks for the life of Jake, for all that he meant to everyone who knew him, and ask that you would be with all of those who grieve. We ask that you would especially be with his partner, Taylor, with his mom, Teresa, dad, Travis, and sister, Danielle. Bless these prayer shawls, that as they feel the weight of these upon their laps or their shoulders, that they would feel the weight of the love and the prayers that we have for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Got all those people? Why don't you hand two at a time? There we go. For those of you that were not able to come to Bill Curry's service, Brantley was my assisting minister, and he did an absolutely beautiful job on Thursday. So I was looking back through my pictures and saw that on June 2nd last year, during the children's sermon, we invited John Lohr forward so that the children could lay hands on him and bless his prayer shawl, because he was just at the beginning of his cancer journey. Today, in just a moment, we're going to invite John forward to ring a bell so that we can celebrate with him that he is on the other side, that he has finished his treatments, and now his task is to regain his strength and his energy. And we want to give thanks to God for all that God has brought him through. And I know he wants to thank all of us for the prayers that we have offered. So John has asked me to read this card on his behalf. Dear members of Holly Grove, since I started my journey after being diagnosed with cancer last May, my church family, friends, and God have been by my side throughout. Your loving acts of caring and kindness, sending cards, phone calls, visits, gifts, and generosity have been overwhelming to me at times. As days and months of treatment went by, you asked me how things were going to keep me upbeat and have a positive attitude. And when I finally got to my last treatment and rang the bell with Susan by my side, you can't imagine what a feeling of relief it was to me. And so as I move to the finish line of this journey, I would like to thank you all from the bottom of my heart, to Susan for her strength, bless you, to Susan for her strength and compassionate care through our journey. I love you, and I'm so blessed to have you in my life. And I want to thank all of you, and I love all of you for all you have done for my family and myself. All the glory be to God. Sincerely, John Lohr. And so, John, if you will come forward and take this bell, and its ring will symbolize our gratitude to God as you finish this journey. I'd now like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Thanks, pal. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Brantley. And good morning, Trevor, all the way back there. So when you got to church today, you got a palm branch. And we wave it and shake it to celebrate that Jesus is here with us today, just like he was with the people on the original Palm Sunday all those years ago. And some of the things that they said on that Palm Sunday are the things that we still say in worship. When we get to the part of the service where we have communion and we sing the holy, 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 those are some of the same words that those people said all those years ago. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so when we get to that part of the service today, I invite you and everyone, while we're singing the holy, 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 to wave our palm branches. And speaking of waving something, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And when you get to church, we're going to have some wands for you. And next Sunday, we want you to wave these wands every time you hear the word Alleluia. Because we haven't said Alleluia in worship all of Lent. We've paused from saying that. And we will say it and sing it again next Sunday to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that Jesus has defeated death. And so we're going to say Alleluia a lot next Sunday. We're going to say it a lot all throughout the 50 days of Easter, but especially next Sunday, we want you, every time you hear the word Alleluia, to shake your wand. Because God calls us to worship God, yes, with our minds and yes, with our hearts, but also with our bodies. And so this is just one way that we can do that. Sound good? Uh-huh. All right, will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for worship. Help us to use our hearts, our minds, and our bodies to worship and honor you. We love you, God. Amen. All right, you may go to Children's Church with Anna this morning. B, are you going to go to Children's Church? Yep, okay. I need to borrow.
The New Testament lesson comes from the second chapter of Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Since this is a lengthy reading, we'll allow everyone to be seated. Please.
When the hour came to eat the Passover meal, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who will betray me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." And then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, you strengthen your brothers." And he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me." He said to them, "When I sent you out without a purse or bag or sandals, did you lack anything?" And they said, "No, not a thing." He said to them, "But now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me." And he was counted among the lawless. "And indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled." And they said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." He replied, "It is enough." He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." And then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed even more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops, great drops of blood falling on the ground. And when he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." While he was speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" And then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then they seized him and they led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him. This man was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking, "Prophesy! Who is it that struck you?" And they kept heaping many insults on him. And when day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. And they said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." And then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it from his own lips. We have heard it ourselves." And then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus to Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." And then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." And then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he heard that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. And so he questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with the soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him, and then put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence, and I have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. And neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." And then they all shouted together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" Well, Barabbas was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating at their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus. They crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And there was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the land until 3 or so in the afternoon. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in linen cloth and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Two ancient traditions anchor our worship service on this Sunday before Easter. We begin our service with celebratory palm branches in our hands and words of praise on our lips, welcoming Jesus into this place, into our midst. In doing so, we celebrate the truth that Jesus is here and now. And We listen to the gospel lesson that proclaims the entire passion narrative. The only Sunday in the whole year that we hear the lengthy account of Jesus' betrayal, arrest, torture, and death. It's kind of like emotional whiplash as we hold these two stories together with tension. And we are reminded yet again that two seemingly opposite things can be true at the same time. Life is beautiful, and life is hard. We can experience deep grief and joy at the same time. We are fully sinners and fully saints. And so these two traditions that anchor our worship today are as powerful as they are opposite. And yet, I think that both capture the heart of what it means to be human and what it is to struggle along our discipleship journey. Because one minute we are praising God with sweet hosannas, and the very next we are crying out, "Crucify him!" When things are going well, we offer our praise and our worship to God. And when things don't go well, or the way we want them to, our praises cease, and we turn away from God. Right? We worship on Sundays praising God with our lips, and then throughout the week, we are indifferent to God, or we live in ways that are not the way of Jesus, that are not loving others as he loved us. Did you know that Good Friday services are some of the lowest attended services in Protestant churches in America? And I think it's in large part because we don't want to have to sit with the pain and the hard emotions that come from Jesus' passion. We'd rather skip right over Good Friday and Holy Saturday and just go straight to Easter. We'd rather get caught up in the parade on Palm Sunday and skip the painful parts of Holy Week and just have that celebration on Easter. Let's just go from Palm Sunday to Easter and skip everything in between. I think this is in part because in order to sit with the story of Jesus' passion, we're called not only to witness the pain that he endured, we're called to acknowledge that we are the ones who, like Judas and Peter, we are the ones who betray Jesus. That we, like that crowd, become disappointed and disillusioned with Jesus and all of the ways that he doesn't meet our expectations. And we turn on a dime, crying out Hosanna in one breath and crucify him in another. That we, like Peter and James and John, when we're asked to remain with Jesus in his anguish, that we don't. And yet, even when we betray Christ, even when we turn on Jesus, even when we close our eyes to his pain and his anguish, Jesus never does. Jesus never betrays us. He doesn't turn on us. He never closes his eyes to our pain and our anguish. He endured suffering and pain beyond what we can even begin to comprehend. And he is present with us, drawing near to us when we experience pain and suffering. Jesus is faithful, even when we aren't. Because his love for us, his mercy, his faithfulness is not dependent on what we do or don't do, say or don't say. The love of Christ is beyond a gift beyond measure, a gift that calls and beckons us to draw near to our Savior. And so, beloved children of God, this Holy Week, we are invited not to look away from all that Jesus endured, but instead we are invited to witness it. We are invited to sit with the discomfort, to sit with the pain, to let the Holy Spirit convict us of the ways that we betray and turn away from God. This week, in the days to come, may we fulfill Jesus' request to Peter, James, and John. May we remain with Jesus and stay awake, keeping vigil with him through this holiest of weeks. May it be so.
Together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Led by the Spirit, let us turn to God in prayer for the church, the world, and all those in need. Guide your church this holy week as we follow in the servant way of Jesus. Protect those who face hostility or oppression for their faith. Humble those who would use faith to dominate others and reinforce their own power. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Make your creation a living witness to Christ's passion and resurrection. In waving palms, shouting stones, fragrant vineyards, murmuring wheat, and revealing fire. Make us attentive to your holy presence in the world, that we may care for the earth you love. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Let your face shine upon the leaders of nations, and let the same mind be in them as it was in Christ Jesus, so that those with the most power may humble themselves to serve the most vulnerable. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Sustain the weary with a word. Grant perseverance to any who are exploited, unjustly accused, or wrongly convicted. Abide with all who are in jails, detention centers, or prisons. Console all who experience times of trial or suffering, especially the family of Bill Curry, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Rosala, Eddie, Pam Jackson, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Give strength to those who will lead worship during Holy Week, pastors and deacons, altar guilds, musicians and assisting ministers, ushers and office staff. Instill them awe and joy, that their service may reflect the love of Jesus. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
We give thanks to you for our beloved dead, especially Bill Curry, trusting that at the cross of Jesus led to the empty tomb, so you welcome those who have died in this paradise of your presence. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love. In the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be.
God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Go get your... God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen. Today we are going to take communion a little differently. The ushers will come forward to get baskets of bread and they will pass it up and down the pews. Take the bread and hold on to it until all have received it, and we will partake together. The same with the cup. And if you need a gluten-free wafer, Brantley and I will bring it to you. All who are hungry, come. The feast of grace is spread. You. and take yours. Take yours. Do you want juice or wine? Okay. Go ahead and take yours. The blood of Christ shed for you. Okay. Please stand for the table blessing. Okay, ready? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Pray together. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God, the tender parent. God, the crucified one. God, the reconciling spirit. Be bless you now and forever. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Oh, Holy peace, careful, and it's God's care for you again.